cleaning the snow off the car, and I was saying, well, the church is going to be open today. And but then my mind went back. If the factory was open up today, would I be there? I said, yes. I'll be there to make that $30 or $40. But the church is open, and that's many of us are going to stay home today. And Mr. Word, we're going to have a little snow going to separate you from the church. God got a way of telling who is faithful, isn't he? He has a way to tell him. We can all talk the show, but can we walk that walk? That's what it's all about. Can you walk that walk? We're going to turn to Acts 10. We're going to come straight out of the Bible. Acts 10. So I know straight out of the Bible. I don't know nothing else. I've been to college, but I don't know nothing else. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a sister of the band called the Italian band. So Cornelius, the Gentile, was a soldier in charge. A devout man, the one that feared God with all his house, which gave him aims to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in his vision, eventually from the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and sent unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked at him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayer and thy irons are coming up for a memorial before God. And sent a man to Joppa and called for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. And he lodged with one Simon, a tanner, whose house was on the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou art to do. Six, he dodged with one Simon a tanner, whose house was on the seaside. He should tell him what thou ought to do. And we're going to use for the subject, come out of verse 2. A devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave aims to the people and prayed to God. God see and hear. God see and hear. Mm-hmm. Now, Cornelius, a Gentile, not a Jew. Now, salvation was not up, was open to the Gentile people. What is a Gentile? A non-Jew. We are Gentiles. So salvation was not open up to us at the time. The gospel, the good news, did not open up to us at that time. Cornelius, the first Gentile, example of a man who lived up to the light which God has gave him. His light become in verse 2. How many of us would raise a hand living up to the light what God gave us? Raise a hand. My hand would go partially go up. Some of them would partially go up. Some people not raising their hand. Well, you know you got some work to do. Work to do. So see this man. He did the best what he could work with, but he was not saved. While his life was not sufficient to save him, But God ensured that he was given the light of the gospel, the New Testament way. Before Peter visited, he did not have the assurance of salvation. So he was not saved at that time. But he did the best that he can. Titus 2:11. For the grace of God that brings salvation had appeared to all men. The gospel must go out to all people. Every creature is say that. Now, we're going to look at the history. We're going to look at the history. History of these texts. We know a text come out of context, but you got to look at the context and get the history. We know back in Genesis 10, I have said before, the tables of the nation come out of Noah, three sons. And all race of people come from Noah, three sons. That's when you get the tables of the nation. Japheth, oldest son, represents the white race. Shem, to represent the Jews. And Ham, the black race. He's a representative. Now, what's so important about this, Reb, somebody say up front? Because Acts 8:9-10 relate to Noah's three sons. You see, in Acts 8, it said a eunuch. Yes, what is a eunuch? A eunuch is a man who's been castrated. And this eunuch was reading the scriptures. And Philip walked up to him and said, "Do you understand?" He said, "How can I understand without a preacher? How can I understand without somebody telling me what the scriptures say?" Now, he was open up. Us, we think we know it all. We think we know it all. That's our problem. We think we know so much. But he just admitted, "How can I understand without a preacher?" And then Philip broke it down to him. Then he went by the water. And he said, "What prevent me from being baptized?" So Acts 8 tell you that a black man went under the water, the first one on the New Testament way. You got to be baptized. No other way. Shem represent Acts 9, represent Paul. Paul was called to preach to the Gentile people. Paul was called to preach like people, like us. And Acts 10 represent the white race, and that's Cornelius. And let's go to the first point. The first point that God noticed, seeing here, God noticed this Gentile man was a devout man that feared God. And what else he do? He was a giver. You see, he shared with other people. And he shared with the synagogue. See, a giver stands out to God. You see that in the verse 2. He was a giver. And God respects a giver. Now, what is Ames? Kind deeds. Rising out of compassion, pity, and mercy, and for the unfortunate. we see a lot of people standing, and they begging for money. We pass by them. What normal come to their mind? Get a job. They need to get a job. You said and I said too. Well, a lot of people can't get a job. Then a lot of people sit on the front porch and drink 40s all day. But they got a handicap. Have you thought about that? A lot of people can't come work every day. See, that's the way. But you and I see people like that. And what we see, all the horns we see people, everybody's on. And we said they need to get a job. Yes. Now, probably we praying. And we say, God, I want you to do something for me. And he answered us, get a job. Get a job. We said, Lord, I like that answer. You see, God, what you do for others, God do for you, Ephesians 6:8. Look at that sometimes. When you share with people, your money that you share come back to you in some way. It don't come to me, it come to my grandson. My grandson told me, and my wife, he said, I got a job, and my boss, remember Reverend Eason, how good the Reverend Eason was to his family. And he said, whatever happened on my job, I know my boss is staying with me. The kids at that time, been about 15 years ago, they come to church to say they was hungry. And I talked to the women, they said, we can cook some breakfast. So I stopped all the time and got some food. And we cook it downstairs in the kitchen and we eat. How do I know 20 years later it came back? When he said what? I remember your grandfather, you look like Ethan. And he said, yes, my grandfather, and he told him what church we used to go to. You see, what you do always what? Come back to you. Now, see, a giver has a count with God. Tabernacle. Right now, got a good count with God. Why you say that, Reverend Lisa? Martin Luther King Day, we took some clothes. Not clothes, we took some, I took some deodorant, and some people took toilet paper, and some people took other stuff. We met at 12 o'clock, Mrs. Giovanni, if I'm pronouncing her name right, she and Sister Miller and some more, we went to that high school on Germantown and delivered some stuff for them. Okay. Now, did God look at that? Yes. Well, you said, somebody said, prove it to me. Philippians 4:17 said, you got to count with God. And I knew when I was driving home how good I feel that day. Because what? Tabernacle did something for the unfortunately teenagers. So see, you always come back to you to be a giver. Now, when I came here, a member of the church, I don't want to call her name, but most of us know her. She said, Reverend, I got a shirt, and it's too big for my husband. Do you want it? I said, yeah. She said, I got a black suit too big for my husband. I said, yes. I used to wear it in 2020. I can't wear it now. Why you bring that up? Because God, her count, according on to the scripture, Psalms 41, if she gets sick, any member of her family, God said, I will get you up. God said, I will get you up. So you see, Cornelius was a giver, and he was a prayer warrior. So when we ride by and we get in our high horses, don't get too high now. Don't get too high. What's a dollar? That's not very much now. I remember a dollar. I used to get a whole bag of candy right across the street. I can get two pieces now. That's not enough to buy a candy bar. See, you got to be a giver. A giver touched God. And he was a giver. Now, Cornelius, since God chose Cornelius, is Cornelius had a dream about 3 p.m. Angel of God came to visit him and said, your prayer and aims have come up before the Lord. Go to Joppa and ask for Simon Peter. He stands with Simon, a tenor. Then it came to Peter. Oh, Peter was something else. He had to work on Peter. And then about 12 o'clock, noon, Peter went up to the flat roof to pray and was very hungry. You see, brothers and sisters, we should have a prayer time, you see. You should have a time that you pray to God. You should set a time. Now, I set a time at 6 in the morning. I wake up and I pray to God. When I get off track, I get back on track. I'm doing now the Jabez prayer for a 30-day challenge. I started January the 18th. And the prophet said, if you do that, you increase. So I'm going to see. I'm working on the Jabez prayer. But I bring that up. We have to pray. A set time, you got to pray to God. God gave us 24/7, 7 days a week. We can't take 10 or 15 minutes or half an hour every day to pray to God. Something is wrong with us. Something is wrong, you see. We're going to let an unsaved man like Cornelius outdo us, and we got the Holy Ghost, our helper, our comfort. That's what we have, and we can't take time out to pray. Now, Peter saw a great sheep of animals, clean and unclean. Were all matter of four-feet beasts of the earth and wild beasts and crawling things and fowls of the air. Peter couldn't eat certain food, according on Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14. The Jews can't eat certain food. They left it all for us. Oxtails. That's good. Sickness. Woo, you know that's good. Sickness. All kind of pork. Sausage. Ooh, ain't that there for us? And I can tear it up. Ooh, I can tear it up. Now, let me tell you the difference between a dream and a vision. A dream tells you where God is heading you, but a vision tells you the details where God is sending you. So when you have a dream, you know he's sending, he might sending you to Chicago or whatever. But that's a dream. But his vision, he tell you the details how to get there. Now, the difference is just like I say. Genesis 15 is a good example. It's a dream and a vision. A dream and a vision in Genesis 15. That's tell you the difference between the two. All right. And there came a voice telling Peter to rise and eat. And Peter said three times, I can't eat nothing unclean. Then God had to rebuke Peter. What I have clean, what I have cleansed, it is clean. Peter said I can't eat that because it's unclean, because it's common. And the third time, he said, eat, Peter. Peter said, I can't eat because it's unclean. And then God worked on him a little bit. Then Peter changed his mind and said, well, Lord, you said it's clean. It is clean. See, you see, God, when you work from God, God got to get you ready. He don't want you just go out there because you might be a stumbling block and mislead so many people. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And after Peter got right, he went to Joppa. Yes, sir. Now, the fourth point, we're going to look at Peter's sermon, Acts 10:34. See? He wants Cornelius to come the same way we go. The same practice many, many, many years ago we are doing now. And Peter's sermon, Acts 10:34, is your subject. God has no respectable a person. What that means? What God do for you, God gonna do for me. Yes, sir. That's why I love to hear people give their testimony. What God did for them. Oh, I'm next, Lord. That's why I holler out, do it for me. You do it for them. Bless me. You see, when people tell me how God has been good to them, I love to hear it. We need to have a testimony service. Well, instead of preaching, everybody just stand up and say, what God has done for me. I enjoy that much as preaching. Because I'm in the same baseball park they in. Amen. If they hit a home run, I hit a home run. What God did for somebody else, he'll do for me. And that's what he used for a subject. God is no respectable person. You see, he getting Peter ready to go to the Gentile people. But he said, Peter, on two conditions. What are the two conditions? Fear God. A devout man or woman, fear God. Now, When you get to be a mature Christian, I'm not talking about a carnal Christian. A carnal Christian hasn't grown in grace. They would do certain things. But a mature Christian, I can't go by age. I got to go by how you grow in grace. Because I see 50 and 60 years old men act like in their 20s. I see 50 and 60 years old men have a good wife at home. And what I'm doing out there, chasing a woman with no teeth in the mouth on crack? Come on now, I got a good wife at home, and I'm going to see the good Christian woman, and I'm out there trying to press people to 50 and 60, act like I'm young, and I'm not going to do that. You see, carnal Christians do that. But a mature Christian don't do that. Because what? They've been seasoned. You see? You got to be seasoned in that grace. See? What do you mean by seasoned? Like a bishop said, you got to have some ups and downs. You got to know for fact God is with you. See, I know for fact. I'm 70 years old now, but looking back over my life, how he brought me. I told you I used to be a heathen, and I was a good heathen. But now, I'm a better man than God. I'm better than good, because what? I obey the commandments. Why I obey? Because I meditate. You see, you got to sit and meditate. Before Joshua crossed the water in the promised land, he said, you need to meditate. See, you need to meditate sometimes. Sometimes we don't meditate. You got to meditate on the scriptures. You got to go to, I'd like to go to the kitchen table and sit there and meditate on the scriptures. Sometimes when I do that daily reading, I close my eyes and just meditate on it. You see, that's how you grow. It tell you Cornelius, a devout man, he meditated on the scripture. You need to constantly have it on your mind. A lot of us, we don't meditate, do we? We just get up in the morning. You need to get up and say, thank you for another day. Before your feet hit the floor. Thank you, Lord. What you want me to do today? Who do you want me to come in contact with? Then you walk out of the house. Go out of the house. I say, good morning. A lot of people look at me. Won't say good morning back. And then they say, what's so good about it? I say, I woke up. Woo! That's right, BZ. This morning, I'm walking and I'm talking. It could have been another way. You see? You know, see, and then I like to cheer people up. I said, I went in a store one day and I said, saw this lady real sad. I said, you got a nice looking dress on today. She said, thank you, young man. She said, thank you. I put this today, put this on for my husband, and he didn't even notice I have this dress on. Woo! But I said, well, you look nice dating your once dress. I kept walking. You got to keep walking to get people comment. You see, you ain't no standing and talking because the Lord is saying, keep walking. You got to keep walking sometimes. So you got to keep walking. You don't get no comment and talk about it. Because see, you stay there, you would go too far. God don't want us to go too far. God wants his children to share with people, cheer them up if you can, and keep going. See, you got to tell people. You got to talk to see. 9 out of 10, people ain't going to see God, but they see the God in you. You see? God was seeing, all this got to do with Cornelius. He's a devout man. Now, if Satan come to God, what did he say about Reverend Easton? Well, he's trying, and I believe he's a devout person. And I believe it. And he'll bring up the day. It's snowing, he was there, but he knew what? He knew the word of God has to go out. And he knew who's going to be here. He knew what you need to hear. So you need to hear how God has been good to you and how you have a count with God. Somebody going to go home today and work on their count. Somebody. And he said, two conditions, work righteous, obey the gospel program. That means live the life he tell you to live. Yes, and since I got older, see, I have the advantage. What do you mean by that? We got the Holy Ghost. Yes, sir. You see, you got the Holy Ghost. Where? You ain't out there just living by yourself. You got the Holy Ghost inside you. And the Holy Ghost gonna let Satan go so far. Satan can't touch you without the permission of the Holy Ghost. He can't touch you. How many times you had done things and you said, "Woo, how did I come through it?" You see? It's a good example today. Brother Logan gave you an example, didn't he? He said his car kept going, but he's here. He could have had a wreck, couldn't he? But God looked down and said, "No, not today. Not today." You see, the Holy Ghost will guide us. Jesus said, "I must go so that the Holy Ghost will come." I want to say something. I'm glad that the Jews reject him. Because it gave me a chance. The chance to accept that salvation. It's not a better thing on earth than the salvation of Jesus Christ. I'm glad when he said into my life. I'm glad when the church, tabernacle, went up against Jesus. See, it was the religion people, the Pharisees, the scribes, the Zealots, Caiaphas, Anna, the chief priest, and then he said the common people beside the guard. Yes, sir. It was you. But you said, "Well, Reverend, I wasn't saved then." Yeah, that could be an excuse. But now, what would you do now? What do you do? What we do now when things don't go away, what do? We stay home, don't we? Stay home. Certain people die in the family who we love. That's when the time to come to church. Now, you see Peter preach. Peter preached the gospel. What is the good news, the gospel? Death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and the manifestation of Jesus Christ. That's the 4 points he preached from 39 to 41. He preached the same thing that the preachers preach today and the person accepted. And 43, it said the mouth confession. He asked him that. And then he said, your sins are forgiven. And 44 to 47, it said, the Gentiles received the Holy Spirit. Now, some denominations take it too far, say that if you don't talk in tongues, you're not saved. But here, they talk in tongues. But we all don't have that gift. We all don't have that. I don't have it. He didn't give me that gift. Like, he gave Paul a gift of singing. If I start singing, everybody get up and go. Unless Sister Pat come and help me out. Unless she come, and then y'all might stay. I don't have that gift. How do you know you had a gift? Acts 1:8, it said, power to witness. When is the last time you tell somebody about the Lord? You see, we got to talk about the Lord. Let me get back to that. You got people in your family acting crazy, like in my family. I don't have a super family. You don't have either. Have we witnessed to them? Do we all got talked so negative? Why can't we say something positive? You see, we got to talk positive. In Matthew, I think it's 5, he said, your little light. When was your light shining? When did you shine your light? Is your light dull all the time? I got to prune my life. Sometimes I wake up full of hell. Well, I know you do too. Well, my grandmother said, go back to bed. Get up on the other side. Oh, have y'all heard that?
Yes, sir.
I wake up full of hell.
Full of hell. Come on.
I wake up hell. My wife looked at me. She said, woo, you ain't doing too good today. She just walk away. You see? But then, when I go to that kitchen table and meditate on how he been good to me. He changed me. He changed. See, the Lord got to touch you. When was the last time he touched you? Oh, you got to be touched. It goes back to the title of preaching. There is no respectable person. Oh, my grandma said, go back upstairs, and get in bed, and wake up on the other side. I do that, come back down with a smile. She said, okay, let's eat. But I said, Lord, why did I do that? He said, well, sometimes the devil just get in us. But I gave you something to overcome the devil. I gave you that Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir.
You see, that's the main thing. Brothers and sisters, we need to quit overpowering that Holy Ghost. You see, the Holy Ghost said, go left, we go right.
Yes.
Paul said, the good is in me, I won't do. But the bad is in me, I will do. By the time that Paul went through them different trials, what did Paul say? I fought a good fight.
Yes, sir.
I kept the course. I finished my race. I want to hear when I get there. Come on up. Come on up, James Easton. Come on up. I don't want to hear it say, I never knew you. And you're going to say, I knew. And then his son going to stand and say, I knew how it was down there. But didn't I give you the Holy Ghost? You need to listen to the Holy Ghost and get your connection right. Cornelius know how to go and get his connection. He was a giver. He's a prayer warrior. And he had contact with the Lord. And Peter's sermon, the same way. What did Peter's last word to him? Go and get baptized. They're going to end that. Why is he baptizing? Because it's a public statement that I want to be connected with God. And when they put you in the water, you go down as an old man. Then they bring you up, you would be a new creature. Some of us go down as an old devil, wet, dry devil. Come up, a wet devil. But time got to come. But time, see, he got to work on us. And some of y'all are going to get worked on. Why? Because you don't listen to the Holy Ghost. You think you know it all, and you not share. You see, this is what we need to hear, you know. Then if you don't, hell is waiting on you. You can go to hell. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Amen. The doors of church is open.